So the first thing we're to do when encountering a lion is to not make any sudden movements. The second thing we're to do when encountering a lion is to stay with the group. Now that brings us to the third thing, and we'll just deal with this with the remainder of our time. When encountering a lion, this is what they say in their, you know, to their clients as they're out there. When confronted by a lion, stand still and face the lion. Don't be afraid to face the lion. Ooh. Don't live your life in fear of the lion. Don't walk around in trepidation for what the adversary of your soul might do. Don't allow worry to grip your heart for when and where the enemy's going to attack you next. Somebody needs to be reminded of the fact that if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you have more power in your pinky than all the power of hell combined. Somebody needs to get a revelation of the fact that you don't have to fear him. He has to fear you. Too many apostolics walking around fearing the lion, fearing the adversary just because of his roar. But what you have to understand is he's more afraid of you than you will ever be of him. You see, we need to remember, you may be seated, it's important that we remember that we do not have to fear the devil. For Christ defeated him at Calvary. Christ stripped him of all of his power at the cross. Satan will not one day be defeated. Satan has already been defeated. Somebody needs to understand, he cannot on his own do one thing to hinder, hurt, or harangue a blood-bought, spirit-filled, water-baptized believer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We need to be watchful in our regards to hell's intents, and we need to be vigilant against hell's devices, but we do not need to be fearful of what hell might do. May be seated. Why? Because the Bible says, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! I know it's often quoted, but whatever you do, do not forget that text. You need to understand what you have living on the inside of you, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, is greater than anything that could ever come against you. Let me just pause for a moment to tell somebody, if you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost and the devil is wreaking havoc in your life, it's the will of God for you to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Before you leave this house today, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Somebody needs to face the lies. Somebody needs to face the accusations. Somebody needs to face the attempts of hell with a renewed understanding. Greater is he that is within me than that guy right there. I want to show you this principle from the word of the Lord. In Luke 10, we find where Jesus had appointed the 70 to go out to minister. I need your minds for a bit. And I want you to look at what happens. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. So he sends them out. gives them instruction, sends them out. Then after, we don't know how long they were gone, but after a while they come back and report what has happened. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Here we go with the name. I need you to notice the astonishment that was in their voice when they recognized the fact that they had more power than the adversary. Of all the things that had no doubt transpired in their time of ministry, the thing that amazed them the most, the thing that astonished them the most, the thing that they wanted to share with Jesus the most was the fact that the devils were subject to the name of Jesus. All of the sudden, they start realizing the name has greater power than what I thought it did. The name has greater significance in the context of my life than I was even aware of. Jesus, we know your name had the power to accomplish this, but we didn't know your name had the power to accomplish that. Here we find the importance, and here we find the necessity, hear me now, of the believer to get a greater revelation of the power that resides in the name of Jesus. They left understanding somewhat about the name, but while they were out, they got greater revelation of the power of the name. Somebody in the house is allowing hell, hear me. Somebody's allowing hell to work overtime in your life simply because you do not have a real revelation of the name that was attached to your life when you went down in the watery grave of baptism. Somebody has become content to live less than what this book has promised to you in some area of your life simply because you don't realize the power that is released when you speak the name of Jesus over that particular area of your life. There's areas where you're walking in victory, but there's other areas where you just have thrown up your hands and say, it is what it is. I don't think it'll ever change. So I'll just keep living and I'll just keep dealing with that as best that I can. Somebody needs to get a greater revelation of the power of the name of Jesus, that if you speak it in this situation and it works, then it'll also work when you speak it in that situation. But you got revelation of its power about this. But somebody needs to get revelation of its power about that. Somebody needs to square your shoulders back. You need to face the adversary of your soul. And you need to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every attack. I rebuke your lies. I rebuke your attempts. I rebuke your efforts on my mind, on my family, on my ministry, on my future, on my emotions, on my finances. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Face him. Don't be afraid. You have more power than what you think you have in the name. You may be seated. I'm a firm believer that the enemy has a greater revelation of the power of the name of Jesus than what many in the church have. That's one reason I'm not trying to offend anybody, But that's one reason why he's pushed this Trinitarian concept so hard in our world. Because he's hoping that we'll get so caught up in the titles that we'll lose sight of the name. Hear me, the reason why we can face our adversary today is not because of the power we possess, but because of the power that resides in the name. Ooh. Let me show you what I'm talking about quickly. John chapter 1 and verse 45. Philip, finding Nathanael, and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there be any good thing that come out of Nazareth?" We found him. Who is it? Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come from that? Humanity was saying, this is just Jesus of Nazareth. What can he do? This is just Jesus of Nazareth. What can he accomplish? This is just Jesus of Nazareth. What kind of power does he have? But I want you to notice what the devils in hell were saying. Mark chapter 1 and verse 24. Saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I need somebody to understand. The devils knew about the name and it caused them to tremble. The devil knew about the name Jesus and that it was attached to the one God of heaven who has all power in his hands. The devils knew his name and they were afraid. The devil knew the name of Jesus and they knew it absolutely had the power to destroy hell's attempts. Humanity did not understand the power that resided in the name, but hell understood the power that resided in the name. I'm come to preach simply this. We need to get a revelation of the power and the authority that is in the wonderful, matchless, glorious name of Jesus. Hell is afraid of it, so we need to start speaking it like we've never spoken before. Hell understands its power. It's time for the church to rise up and understand the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your hands. Somebody praise him in the house. Somebody shout Jesus. Come on, somebody shout Jesus. Somebody's got revelation of that name. I want you to shout Jesus. Maybe seated. I want to show you quickly now what it looks like to have a real understanding. This is when you know you have real understanding and revelation of the name. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45. Then said David to the Philistines. Now this is the story where David is going out to battle. The Philistines have come to do war against God's people. All God's people are afraid. They're hiding in their tents. And the Philistines put forth their greatest warrior by the name of Goliath. And they said, if you'll send your greatest warrior to fight Goliath, whichever one of those two wins, then that will be the victory for the other camp. And so the Bible says, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 45, then said David to the Philistine. Goliath standing there, this huge giant of a man. David, this little short guy, says, "You come to me with a sword, and you come to me with a spear, and you come to me with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied." Now watch, this is revelation. When you truly understand the power that resides in the name. "This day," verse 46, "will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. and I will smite you and take thine head from thee. And I will give your carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly, now remember, this is David standing there, he's yelling at this at the giant, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I want you to notice simply that because of David's understanding of the power that resided in the name of the Lord, then his victory over the adversary was never one time in doubt. Come on, somebody. Before he ever stepped one foot into the battlefield, David already knew, I'm going to be victorious in this battle. Before he ever picked up one stone from the brook, he already knew the enemy was going to be destroyed and God's people were going to be victorious. He had an absolute faith to believe that he was of what was going to happen simply because he knew, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. More monitor, please. Somebody needs to grasp a hold of the power that resides in the name of Jesus to the extent where you start having the kind of faith that David had. Hell, look at me. Listen, I don't encourage you to talk to hell a lot. Because why talk to somebody who's a nothing? We'll just talk to Jesus. But sometimes something just has to be said. Hell, it's not about what you say is going to happen in my life. It's not about what you say is going to happen in my family. It's not about what you say is going to happen in my finances or in my ministry. It's about what I know this book has already promised to me. And hell, I just want you to know today, the promises of God's word are absolutely going to become a reality in my life. Well, how do you know, preacher? How do you know? I'll tell you, because I'm going to speak the name that is above every name. And when I speak the name, I know what God promised to me is going to be a reality. Hell, it's not going to be you that directs the course of my life. It's going to be the power of the name of Jesus that directs the course of my life. So when I speak the name Jesus, when I have the faith to believe that name, I will be blessed. My prayers will be answered. Doors will be opened. Healing will happen. Power will be released. Angels will be dispatched. The blood will cover. Brokenness will be mended. Loss will be restored. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It will. It will. It will. Why? Because I got power and I understand the authority that resides in the name. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Stand to your feet and give God praise in this house. Woo! Come on, somebody praise him in the house like you have revelation of the power that resides in the name of Jesus. Stay standing. Now, you see it in my notes, but I just felt led. I saw this yesterday. I felt the Lord speak to me now. So they come back. The 70 come back. Stay standing. The 70 come back. And the 70 returned again, joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto me through thy name. And Jesus said, this is Luke 10 and 18. So they come back and they say, Jesus, and we were speaking your name, and devils, they were getting out of there. People were being delivered left and right. Demonic forces had to leave because of your name. Now watch this. And Jesus responds, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, very possibly there's two kind of trains of thought of what this may potentially mean. It may mean that Jesus was referencing back to when Satan was kicked out of heaven and he fell as lightning. But he references here lightning. And the connotation he's trying to illustrate is he said unto them, I beheld. Everything you just said, I beheld it happening. And when it happened like lightning flashing across the sky. Now, this is awesome to me. Because in essence, what it very well could mean that he was saying, Pastor Elijah, was when they came back and said, Jesus, you're not going to believe this. Even the devils are subject when we spoke your name. What I believe it's saying is Jesus' response to them was, I believe it because I saw it. In other words, I was there when it happened. When you were in that house and that person was demonically oppressed and you spoke the name and that demon was cast out, you don't have to tell me it happened. I saw it happen. You see, they thought Jesus was back in Jerusalem somewhere. But they didn't understand that he's humanity, but he's also all of God who fills all space and all time, and a God that cannot be confined to a house in Jerusalem. So what Jesus was saying was, when you spoke my name, I was there. In other words, whenever you speak the name of Jesus, all of who God is shows up on the scene. Whatever you need him to do, whatever you need him to be, when you speak the name of Jesus, he is there. He is present. The name invokes the power of who he is. Now, come on. I got to stop. But watch this now. This is so cool to me. And he says, listen, when I work my work in somebody's life, it's going to be like lightning. Let me tell you something about lightning. It don't matter how dark it is. When lightning flashes, you see it. I'm here to tell somebody that when Jesus works his work in your life today, it don't matter how dark it's been. I said it don't matter how dark it's been. Dark in your mind, dark in your home, dark in your emotions, dark in your spiritual life. When Jesus works his work, it's going to happen. And you're going to see it. It's not going to be one of those things that says, I don't know. I think something good happened. Well, I really hope something good happened in church today. No, sir. No, ma'am. When Jesus works his work in your life, when you call on the name that is above every name, you're going to know that it happened. It's going to be evident. Even in the darkness of your night, it's going to be evident with the light of Jesus Christ. Woo! Last point and I'm done. But here's something else I know about lightning. It doesn't crawl across the sky. When it flashes, it happens quick. Woo! I'm here to tell somebody, when you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever you need him to do, he's got so much power. It's not a 21-step whatever. It's not a three-month thing. But my God can do more in 3 seconds than what humanity can do in 3 lifetimes. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is saying, when you call on my name, I can make it happen, and I can do it quickly. Come on, lift your voice and praise him in the house. Praise him, praise him.